All right. Our project had a long gestation period. It began with the start of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it grew with the inescapable realization of the widespread destruction and suffering that they wrought, both to those in lands far away and to those close to us at home. The unique needs of the veterans who were returning and entering our College of Nursing at UIC became more visible starting around 2007-2008. These young men and women were returning to us having served as medics or as enlisted soldiers and officers. They were entering our highly competitive and accelerated programs in search of something ill-defined and elusive, a sense of community purpose, and a taste of the adrenaline on which they had subsisted during their deployments. They were hit with the stress and the suffering early on, thrown into chaotic, short-staffed urban medical centers where they cared for those with complex illnesses, for the homeless and the underinsured who crowded our ERs, for prisoners from our state prison shackled to their beds. They got the adrenaline, but not the attendant support designed to meet them where they stood in their efforts to reintegrate. Over the years, I watched them strive to meet our expectations while they continued to struggle with issues that we barely understood. My colleagues for this project were Dr. Barbara Fish, an art therapist with dual appointments in the Department of Psychiatry at UIC, as well as the Art Institute of Chicago. Dr. Carrie Sondahl was the newly appointed Director of Graduate Studies in the Department of Disability at UIC. Her background was in performative arts and disabilities. Both had experience and interest in utilizing the arts as a means of expression and release, and we began to collaborate. Our hope was to provide a safe haven, depicted here in Barbara's creation, which she called the Vet's Nest. Our response arose as the Veterans Creative Strength Project, which was a 15-week academic support workshop, which we offered last year. The sessions were divided into explorations of visual arts, writing, and performance. We hoped the workshops were designed to allow student veterans to explore the meaning of difficult experience as well as to process their new roles as caregivers and student nurses. Our aim was to create a safe environment to grant coherence to the stories that they wished to tell. With greater coherence, we hoped, and more control, there would be less randomized anxiety, decreased isolation, and pain. We submitted our proposal as an internal grant at UIC, and we received our funding. Our philosophical framework is perhaps best described by sociologist Arthur Frank, who wrote, in part, "We have plenty of words to describe specific types of pain, sharp, throbbing, piercing, but these do not describe the experience of pain. We lack terms to express what it means to live in such pain. Unable to express it, we come to believe that there is nothing to say, and silenced, we become isolated in pain, and the isolation only increases the pain." He goes on to say, "Taking pain entirely into my own body, making it too much my own, carries the danger of becoming isolated in that body, and isolation is the beginning of incoherence." So we sought to offer to our student veterans a variety of ways to express what they needed to bring forth, to explore the meaning and thus to break through their isolation and restore some semblance of coherence. There was a sort of organic quality to our recruitment process. Corey was the oldest of the students. I had known him the longest. He had returned from two tours of duty in Iraq around 2008. He entered our rigorous accelerated program, quickly married, and was divorced within 18 months, lost his home, dropped out of graduate school, and amped up the stress level of his nursing positions, from intensive care to the emergency room to helicopter transport. Through it all, he remained a faithful participant in the veteran panels I would have in all my classes. One year, he arrived in full military regalia with his helmet, his Kevlar vest, and his backpack. Sitting in that particular class was David, who was a newly returned Marine and a first semester nursing student. David sat there and wept through Corey's presentation. Sarah, an active duty military, active duty Army major, was also in that class. And in the back row, Holly took notes. Holly was not a veteran, but her boyfriend Sean was. He had recently returned from Afghanistan, and he was struggling. The three of them, Holly asked us to include Sean, and we did, although he didn't strictly meet our selection criteria as being an active UIC student. So the three of them came to my undergraduate class and spoke to the students there, and one of them, Ian, a first semester junior, came up afterwards and told us that he would like to join us in the group, but he had an 18-month-old and a 5-year-old that he cared for. We told him to bring them. Amy responded also, but she too was the parent of a 6-year-old daughter. Bring her, we said. And then we sent out a request for volunteer childcare, and Holly replied. Rachel approached us and asked if she could participate. She was an artist and a performer before entering nursing, not a veteran herself, but she was married to an active duty Army sergeant, and she was struggling within her marriage. Come, we said, although she too did not strictly fit our selection criteria. And so along with our graduate students, Stephanie from the College of Nursing, Alyssa from the School of the Art Institute, and Matt, we had the start of our Wednesday night community.
As Jerry described, we use three creative genres. The first, framed from the Open Studio concept for visual art, was led by Dr. Barbara Fish. We began and ended each session with a chime to set the boundary. Each of us then wrote our intention for the evening, most focusing on how or what we hope to accomplish in the workshop, as well as in our lives. We then provided a variety of materials from which each person could work in the medium that they felt best. At the end of working on the art, each of us also wrote a piece in bearing witness to the experience. Each member had the opportunity to read their intentions, to share their art, and to bear witness if they wished. The Open Studio is a ritualized and very predictable structure. It's designed to provide a held space that is predictable, regardless of who comes, and it provides a space of refuge without judgment or criticism, and how or what experiences are expressed or contained. The vets mentioned many times that this was much more helpful than other therapeutic groups in which they'd worked and in which they were pushed to relive their traumas in detail over and over. Some of the sessions were quiet, others almost immediately gave rise to very informal conversations and a real camaraderie among them and being with others who understood, who shared that part of their identity. At the end, the work from the group was shown as a part of a show for the Masters in Art Therapy students at the School of the Art Institute. It was titled The Art of Connection. Most of us went to the opening together, and it served to be a source of pride for the vets, but also validity for them that the greater community kind of recognized what they had to share and what they had been through.
The writing sessions followed the visual art. On one occasion, we brought in objects and photographs which held special significance for us. We placed them in the middle of the table, and each of us chose objects on which to reflect. On another occasion, we offered a rift on William Carlos Williams' poem, A Red Wheelbarrow, which says, "So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rain, water beside the white chickens." So we then offered our own responses, beginning with the phrase, "So much depends upon." In our final writing session, we read a few selections from the long-running NPR Oral History Project, This I Believe. We wrote our own individual testimonies to what we believe, and later Stephanie and I compiled these into a group statement of conviction, which then became interwoven into one of Carrie's performance pieces. I'd like to offer a sample of the writing which was produced, but first I want to share just a bit of Corey's statement of permission for using his writing, for I believe it's emblematic of the spirit which grew out of our Vets Creative Strength project. He wrote, "Please feel free to use my words and thoughts if you feel they will help others in some small way, even if it's just to let them know that their thoughts, fears, dreams, and nightmares are not just theirs alone." There were many motifs and themes which emerged from the workshop. For Corey, his bird held special significance. He worked on it all semester as he also worked through the knowledge that he was going to become a father for the first time. By the time of our show at the School of the Art Institute, the bird had become a phoenix. So this is from our second session, our second writing session. This is a reflection that Corey wrote the night that he told us of this just budding pregnancy, as he completed his first drawing, which was that of a tree, strongly rooted, with branches reaching out. He wrote, "Which are you? Which will you be? Who will you be? Who are you? I had hoped to give you leaves and show the seasons, but first I gave you form. A strong trunk, branches held high, and roots to hold fast. Instead, I cannot see the final shape, but I feel pushed to produce both options. I can see beneath the start of what lies beneath you, but cannot find or choose between the two. Pink or blue, which will you be? Which is you?"
The performance aspect of our workshop kind of represented a fluid progression from some of the more least stressful experiences that we had, making art, to a much more structured part of the workshop, which was the performance. What we found was that some of the vets were actually not as stressed out by the performance. It involved taking risks. It involved working together with other people in group kinds of projects, and it was a little bit more risky for some of us who were leading it than it was for them. They seemed to have a really good time doing it. I allowed them to relax, to laugh, to be very informal, but then also to reflect upon what those kinds of risks had meant to them and how they had taken those risks of other people and kind of looked at them in the context of somebody else's experience. The writing was very revelatory and communal, but it also was probably a little bit less risk-taking because it was individual and because the visual art had also been individual. So none of this?
I don't think we have time for it.
We had a part of the video that was created for the workshop, throughout the workshop, and we were going to show you a little bit part of that, but we don't have time for that. Some of the implications and lessons that we learned from the workshop was that it was very important for the vets to have an opportunity to witness not only their own trauma and to contain that trauma, but also to witness what others had been through. And like I said before, they didn't necessarily specifically talk about what the trauma was that they had experienced in the war itself, but it certainly came up metaphorically and indirectly in some of their art and their writing and just in their discussions. We recognized it was very important to them to hold a space and to honor that space, regardless of how many of them showed up, because they came to depend on that, and we're very thankful, the one or two at times who showed up, that we were still there and we were still honoring what we were doing and that they had that space. Obviously, flexibility was involved both from us and from them. This population, as many student populations, but especially this one, has other challenges that maybe sometimes interfered with their participation. We gained a better understanding of their limits and challenges that were a little bit different from what maybe we had anticipated at the first as far as learning differences and focusing and attention. Some of their challenges, obviously, a lot of them stemmed from greater problems that they were having in their lives with their families, with just being able to fit in to the student population at the university. I think at times they just felt very very validated and very honored that there was a group of people who cared enough to sit and listen to their experiences. And whatever we did during that time was a little bit secondary to the fact that there was somebody there connecting with them. I think we also figured out that healing comes in kind of different ways, obviously, and some of that is in the everyday thing of just sitting and sharing a muffin with somebody else or sharing some tea, and sometimes just in kind of doing art side by side and that parallel kind of play that we all know about from childhood.
So what we would do differently, some of the darker lessons that we learned. We had hoped for continuity, but as facilitators, we really allowed the connections to falter. We made non-specific plans at the end of the semester to regroup after the holidays, but that proved difficult as life turned unpredictable. Sarah took off on a trip around the world. Ian became caregiver not only for his children, but also for the dying father of his fiance. David was expelled from the program in the college. Rachel initiated divorce. And Sean badly decompensated and took long trips out into the wilderness. Corey happily settled into fatherhood. So we who called this project into being enacted a covenant we are only beginning to understand. and we're still hoping to gather them together again this coming December. So I'd like to conclude with Corey's last reflection, which was written last December following our closing performance exercise, in which we sat in a circle in the dark and sent forth a pulse of touch, one hand to the next. Corey wrote, "I continue and keep the connections formed here. Too many friends have come and gone. Hold on to these as best you can." A simple pulse sent round the circle, slow, steady, a constant beat carried. Does each person connect before the first ends, or does a strange code tap its way through a silent telegraph? Breathing evens out and a meditation pulses, once, twice, again and again. Sooner now, more frequent, building yet a steady, constant push. Unrushed, but in time. Quicker, but calmer, making me aware again and again that someone is there in the dark. Someone is there. I am not alone. Thank you.